Grace you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Happy birthday to you, the Christian Church, on this Pentecost Sunday. We got streamers, although I didn't even get a streamer, Mr. Justin. Who do I file a complaint with? I mean, I had to just wave my stole. But happy birthday. And happy birthday to my brother. Today is his birthday, my older brother. When we were growing up, he and I always had to share our birthday celebrations. So if it was going out to eat, if it was a cake, if it was a birthday party, I think we had two in the time I was growing up, not my mom's wheelhouse. So we shared those. Shared them. I mean, I don't mind. Our birthdays are 5 days apart. We're not twins. He's actually 2 years older than I am. And so I like to think that I got all the downside of being a twin with none of the benefits. So we shared, but being a middle child, I'm used to sharing because I was always either paired with my younger brother because we were the youngest boys, or paired with my older brother because we were the oldest boys, but they never say, all the middles, stand up. It's your time to shine. I had my own room when I was in eighth grade was the first time I got to sleep alone in my own room when we moved into town and had a four-bedroom house. Before that, I mostly shared with my younger brother, and then it didn't last long. One time my mom and dad thought it'd be a good idea for me and my older brother to share and give my younger brother his own room. Well, I ruined my older brother's life when I was born, and he was not really good at sharing. So that didn't work out so well, and soon I moved back in with my younger brother. So as a middle child, I'm used to sharing. This may sound like complaining. I don't mean it to. It just was. I shared a lot. I shared pictures. There's a few where I'm in it by myself, but mostly I'm in with my older brother or my younger brother. Clothes, yeah. If you see saw a picture of my older brother in an outfit, you knew I was going to get a picture in that same outfit when I was the same size. But I learned to share at an early age, and I think it was a good lesson. Now, although we had to share birthday parties and birthday cakes and birthday dinners, as we did last night, we went to dinner last night for our birthdays with my mom, we never had to share birthday gifts. Thank you, Mom, for that. We appreciate it. We didn't have to share. We got our own birthday gifts. However, that was not the case at Pentecost. At the birth of the Christian church, not everybody got their own gift. They all got the same gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit, which we read about from Acts chapter 2 this morning. The gift of the Holy Spirit was given to all who were gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem, who had gone there to wait just as Jesus had instructed them to do prior to his ascension into heaven. And it was in that room that suddenly from heaven there came a sound, like the rush of a violent wind that filled the entire house, and then tongues as a fire appeared among them. And a tongue rested on each of them, and with these tongues, they were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and with it, the ability to speak in a multitude of languages. But even more impressive than that, they were given the ability to understand each other and the language that they understood. So with the gift of the Holy Spirit came this acknowledgement of the need for diversity so that each could speak a language and be heard in the language of another. Diversity. We have unity through that Spirit, but not uniformity. At the very creation of the church, God intentionally created it with diversity amongst those who were gathered. And yet, unity through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, this is what Paul is writing about in his letter to the Corinthian church that we've been reading from and preaching for most of this past month. And we are gathered by that same Spirit as we gather in worship, as we gather in unity in Christ. Yet we each are uniquely gifted. Paul explains in this 12th chapter of that letter to the church that was divided. We've talked about that. The church in Corinth was divided, and they divided themselves over pretty much anything that they could see was different. And they began to categorize and value different things so that socioeconomically, ethnically, and even by the gifts of the Spirit, they began to value some as greater than another so that those who had that one gift could be seen as better than those who didn't, setting themselves apart. So Paul instructs the church. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed, as if he's doing them a favor. Here, let me tell you something. I don't want you to go through life uninformed about this. But the reality is what Paul, I think, wanted to say was, listen, sisters and brothers, you've got it all screwed up in how you understand the gifts. The gifts were given to you, not to set yourselves apart, but for the good of the church. So listen up. And then before he tells them, goes on to explain how and why the gifts were given to them, Paul ends up reminding them of where they had come from. He says, remember, he doesn't use reprobates, but my dad used to call us reprobates. Remember, you pagan reprobates. I added that in there. You once were pagans. And when you were pagans, you believed in idols. And the good part about believing in idols is whoever creates the idol can say that this idol represents whatever they want it to, and it says whatever they want it to. But Paul says, not so with the Spirit. That the Spirit would never say that Jesus is cursed. No, not like an idol you could get to say whatever you want it to. The Spirit won't say what you want it to. The Spirit proclaims Jesus is Lord. And so those who proclaim Jesus is Lord only do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not of their own doing, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if they don't have the Holy Spirit, those words to them are empty. They have no power. They mean nothing. But when said with and by the power of the Holy Spirit, those words are life-changing, life-giving. They allow us to enter into that truth and to receive the gift of everlasting life that's offered to everybody who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, declares Jesus as Lord. Then Paul goes on to describe what some of the gifts of the Spirit are, and this list is not exhaustive in any way, shape, or form. But it's just an example of what some of the gifts are. But what is important in that is as he describes them, he says, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who activates them all in everyone. The same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God unites us, is the giver of these same gifts that are given to us, not for our sake, but for the sake of the gospel. So he provides a list of the gifts, and then he explains that these gifts are given for the well-being of the church of Christ, for the very body of Christ, and then he compares those gifts or the totality of gifts to the different parts of the body. I mean, I think that's a comparison that makes sense to us, right? Or hopefully makes sense to us. I mean, most of us are not farmers, right? So some of these references to farming and harvesting and all that, yeah, it sounds good, but it's a little less accessible. Who here doesn't have a body? I guess it'd be hard to raise your hand if you don't have a body. Right? But we can all relate to what it means to have a body and be embodied and to the different parts of the body and the role that each part of the body has for the totality of who we are and how we interact with the world. So Paul compares the gifts of the Spirit with the different parts of the body and says no one is greater than another, but together they make up the body. And the reality is, as we, each of us knows, that if we are missing any one part of the body, it's no longer whole. It's no longer complete. I think we know a body can live without a part, at least for a while, right? But even if you are missing a part of your body, what happens to the rest of your body? It has to accommodate. Other parts might have to work harder or different. It acknowledges that which is missing. And they say if you've severed a limb, you actually continue to feel that limb well after it's gone. It takes a while for the body, the brain, to catch up with the fact that you are actually missing a part of the body. But we can't thrive as completely as our embodied self if we begin to start hacking off parts of our body. And the same is true within the church. We are made up of the parts of the body which are the different gifts of the Spirit. We need all of them. We need all of them to thrive and be successful. We need all of them to bear witness to the good news of God's love. And when any part of the body is missing, any of those gifts, any of those people with those gifts are missing, we are not as strong or complete as we are otherwise. So who's missing? Who have you been saying, oh, I wonder where so-and-so is? Have you heard what's happened to this family or that family? I haven't heard about this person or that person. Have you reached out to them to let them know that as part of the body of Christ, you experience their absence and you miss them? And that you actually understand that we aren't as full or complete without them here? Or more likely, you ask the person sitting in the pew next to you, hey, have you seen so-and-so? What's going on with them? Reach out. Figure out who isn't here, who you haven't seen, who you think that we are missing and what gifts we are missing, and invite them back into fellowship with the body that we might be made complete. That we might be able to fulfill the mission that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has given each and every church that has been established. Because without any of those, without all of the gifts, we can't do what we are called to do. Certainly not in the way that we can do it most successfully, with all of those gifts and all of those people present. We need every part of the body. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, the Holy Spirit was given as a gift of God's ongoing presence among us and within us. Jesus, post-resurrection, was preparing to ascend back to the right hand of the Father, told his followers to go to Jerusalem to wait for this gift, the gift of the Spirit, by which the love and the power of God could continue and did continue to be present among the followers of God, to be present here on earth. Even after his body was raised up into heaven, we were called and are called to become that very body, bearing witness to the good news of God's love for all of God's creation. And we can only do that, or most effectively do that, when every gift of the body, every spiritual gift that is mentioned in that list and not mentioned in that list, are present and being utilized for that purpose. So we need to work together. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us, not individually, I mean, yes, individually, but not like my birthday gift that I don't have to share, right? The gifts of the Spirit are given to us in order to be shared. You are not given gifts of the Spirit for your own sake. You're given them for the sake of the people around you and for the sake of the people in the world around us. Those gifts are meant to be shared. It's the very reason you're given them. But what good does it do me to have the gift of prophecy and teaching and being a great preacher if I'm the only one I'm going to preach to? I get pretty darn bored. I mean, if I had those gifts, or healing or whatnot. No, the gifts of the Spirit are given to be shared. Shared for the good of God's kingdom around us. Shared for the sake of the gospel. Shared so that other people might hear and receive and believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. That they too, my friends, might say Jesus is Lord, not just as empty words, but they might say Jesus is Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they too might have their lives changed forever for good. Amen.